scripture reading this morning is from the 21st chapter of John, the 1st through the 19th chapter. After these things, Jesus showed himself to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He showed himself in this way. Gathered together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But his disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. And when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've caught." So Simon Peter went on board and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Now this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me."
Will you join me as we pray? Father, allow us as we stand before you to hear illumination of the Scripture. Allow our hearts to be open, our minds to be clear, and our spirits to leave challenged, Father. For we ask this in your name. Amen. One never knows how one needs to start on this Scripture. And one of the dangerous things for me is when you give me a little bit of time to think, It brings me to different places. And today, with this scripture, because this is one of the scriptures that when a person asks you, give me five scriptures that have defined your ministry, this is one of the ones that for me. I grew up in Florida. We grew up on the bay, or a bayou off the bay. We grew up with fishing. Everything that involved our church life growing up involved fish. You caught them. You cleaned them. Fish fries were way of lives in the summer. It was just which group was doing one. And for a person that doesn't like fish, you became a connoisseur of cheese grits. You knew who had the best coleslaw. And you knew where to get the best hush puppy. But fish was all about the ability to catch them. Every fisherman has holes or spots that are their favorite place. In lakes, you know where to get. You know, it's one of the things I learned about Lake Gunnersville. My friends that I grew up with were Logan Martin or Lake Martin. Had friends at Smith Lake, but to me, Smith Lake's a view. If I've got to climb 420 steps to get to the water, I'm just going to look at it. We moved to Lake Gunnersville, and everybody said, oh, it's the bass capital of the world. I found out why. Lake Gunnersville was not a deep lake. And when we moved there, we rented a house while our house was being repaired from the tornadoes, and we were on the lake, and it had a dock at the end of that. At our house. Do you know I went out there one day to get in the water because I like to swim. And go ahead, somebody will say, oh, just like somebody at SeaWorld. Shamu goes for a swim. The reason Lake Gunnersville has all that fish is it has this, they call it water foliage. I call it underwater kudzu. I didn't set my toe in that lake the rest of the time we were there. But fishermen just loved it. Growing up where you fish in the Gulf, you have points that you go to, reefs that are created, places that the fish are supposed to be better than others. And then there's some people that can fish all day long and not catch a thing. And then other people can be in a boat as far as from here to Frank, and they are bringing them in as fast as you can. And the old boat captains always will tell you this. And today I'm going to go ahead and just share some personal insights on why I am the way I am on a few things. Coming from the coast, the initials we use for the church that we love are not a good thing. CHUM in the coast is what you go to the back of the fishmonger for and they put in a pillowcase and you take it out in the boat and you throw it in and it attracts the sharks. When I told some of my friends, they said, where are you at church? I said, chum. They said, Rusty, what are you doing, grinding up the ones you don't like and just giving them away? I said, now that's a thought I've not done before. But Sandra, am I wrong? Chum is not something we talk about happily for fishing. But one of the things that captains will tell you, because all people want to catch a fish when they go fishing. You know, whether it's with a cane pole, a bobber, a bank of a lake, whether it's in a 60-foot ocean going, and you're in a fighting chair catching a blue marlin that takes 6 hours to bring to the boat, it's all about catching the fish. Captains tell you from the beginning of time, it's all about the bait you use. There are people that will say, frozen bait doesn't catch a thing, doesn't have a smell. Other people will say you have to catch small fish to use them as bait for the big fish. Other people will say, oh, little pieces of bread rolled up. It's all about the bait. I'm I'm going to step on toes now for just a few minutes. I've been reassigned. It's too late to get rid of me today. And you've got 51 weeks to get over today's sermon before it's time to start again tomorrow. This scripture says very plainly, follow me and we're going to catch fish. For the better part of 20 years of my ministry, one of the things that I have done for every conference I have worked with are demographic studies. You're sitting there thinking, why is he bringing a demographic study into a sermon? Our sermon today is about catching fish. Sitting, I thought it was interesting that the scripture says 100 yards. Sitting 100 yards from us is a business identity that does, after Walmart and after Target, the largest demographic study of any other corporation in the United States of America. And that is Starbucks. Some of you in this room probably have not even been in that Starbucks because you say to yourself, I'm not paying $3.75 for a cup of coffee that I can make at home. Notice this scripture doesn't say what it costs to catch the fish. It says to catch the fish. What happens to us in the traditional church? We do it the same way we've always done it. I've spent the last 3 weeks clearing out file cabinets. One of the things Cabo Heights loves to do is they love to keep old bulletins. And not just one old bulletin. You'd open a drawer and it'd be 35 from that Sunday, whatever was left over. Do you know on our church calendar for 2012, we did several things that this church did in 1972. Same title, different faces. I'm not saying they're not good things, but I'm asking us today, what bait are we using? We've tried. We've tried as a church. We've tried to do things that are different. We've tried to keep up. We've tried to be where we're supposed to do. And notice what Jesus said to the disciples. Just lower the net on the right side of the boat. When we immediately think of right, we're thinking of right versus left. When we look at this scripture and replace right with left, with right with wrong, he's telling them where to lower the net. Lower it in the right place. I think the burden, and I say that honestly today, that I have struggled with for over 52 weeks, is what does God want out of Cahaba Heights United Methodist? We sit on a hill of one of the most valuable pieces of property in the Birmingham, Jefferson, Shelby County Metroplex. We are so close to being out of debt that we will have the largest unencumbered piece of property in the North Alabama Conference. We sit in an area that people are moving into faster than realtors can put houses on the market. Three bedrooms, one bath, 1,122 square feet with no garage, and it sold for $249,000. We live with a school in our backyard that, granted, Cahaba Heights Elementary has always been, since the days of New Merkel, a banner school, but it is an A-plus school. We live in a community that we're not afraid of crime. We live in a community that is changing. We live in a community that the world is dying to get into, and for some reason, we're not baiting our hooks correctly to bring them within the door. And I say we on that statement. Hear me very quickly. I'm not saying we're changing a thing. But what each of us must be willing to change is our own ability to lower the net. I don't think we need a screen with a dancing dot to teach us to sing. I don't need a drum to wake God up before I start to preach. I don't want us to be, you're not hearing me say he needs to do anything different today, but what I think we do need to do is exactly what this scripture says, which is listen to God. One of the things that I have found throughout ministry is there are times when I get an idea and I want to make it God's idea. We are the only church in the North Alabama Conference that sits across the street from a Starbucks. Some of you are saying, why is that a big deal? It's a big deal because the fish that we need to be catching are the ones that go through that drive-thru every single morning. Mountain Chapel had one near their church on Rocky Ridge Road. It closed. What happens to us as a church is just exactly what happened to the disciples. We get tired. We fished as long as we want to fish. And here comes Jesus after the crucifixion and says to a group of tired disciples, come fish with me one more time. One more time. They rowed out into the boat. Now, mind you, this was a lot more difficult than what it was for us today, and yet they still were willing to do it. He said, lower the nets on the right side. We know what happened after that. The nets were so full. The nets were so packed that they could not even pull the fish into the boat. They had to row the boat toward shore, dragging the fish. What a glorious day. And somebody's going to say, all he's worried about is a number. You're absolutely right, I'm worried about a number, because if numbers weren't important, Richard, how many fish were caught that night? 153. Why do you think they counted them if fish weren't important? Could the scripture have been the same if it had said, we just caught a bunch of fish? Or the nets were full? It gave a number. What a powerful thing to think. You know, what do I want to be successful as a minister? I want Freddie Huey to come screaming down the back hall saying, you got to do something, you got to do something. And I look at her and say, why? And she says, there's not a single seat left in the sanctuary. What a problem to have. The sadness right now for each one of us, and I put myself at the top of this list, is in 2013, we've got to figure out what bait we're using. The scripture says very simply, Peter, do you love me? If you do, feed my sheep. We don't have an excuse. You know, the excuses are gone. Not a single solitary one. Our bills are paid. Our roof so far isn't leaking today. We're glad. We've got visitors coming every week. There's younger people coming every week. Our music sounds wonderful. Ginger can make anything almost sound glorious. And here we sit in one of the best demographics in the city of Birmingham. One of the demographics that people want to move into. And somebody's back there right now saying, oh, he says we need to be the Church of the Highlands. I do not. I am proud to be a Methodist. I want people to know who John Wesley is, but what I want us to do more than anything is fish with results. Nobody wants to fish very long if every time they fish they don't catch a thing. Nobody wants to cook if every time they cook it turns out bad. Nobody wants to go on a date if every time you go on one It's a nightmare. You end up quitting doing it. Well, from today forward, we're going to fish. And one of the things as a congregation we're going to do is pray that we understand which side of the boat is the right side. You know, break out and do something different. Live large one time. I dare some of you this week, because there's a few of y'all in here, and I'm not going to point you out, that could afford $3.75. Go in there and order something that you can't even pronounce the name. Look at it and ask them to tell you, what is it that you think I might like? And then order something that ends with a chino or something, and then come back next week and say, I did it once. I knew I was headed for a little trouble when a person last week said to me, you need to pray for me. And I thought, why? And I asked them, and they said, do you know Winn-Dixie had the nerve to change two of the aisles around? I knew then I was headed for trouble today. But it's where we are. It's where the bait is. It's where the hook is. We celebrate this year 144 years of a rich heritage of sharing the gospel with the world. We need to determine how we're going to fish for the next 144 years. Because what's going on around us, we cannot stop. But what we can do is offer a bait that is the very best that any person can have, and that is a relationship with a living God.